We go down to San Diego and bring in the pregame and postgame host of the San Diego Padres. And I think this National League West is still alive. Craig Elston, how are you?
Doing great, my friend. Beautiful Sunday afternoon here in San Diego.
All right. I think the Padres in Arizona is kind of still in this thing. The Giants are 42-40. Do you have that same feeling this National League West thing isn't over?
I think the National League West is a two-team race. I really do. You know, for the Padres to get back in it, they needed a better result this weekend than they had. They took the first two against St. Louis and had an opportunity to win all four games of the series. They come away with a 2-2 split, which sinks them back to six games under 500. And, you know, time is really running out. I talked about it on the air. At the 81-game point, the Padres would have needed to go 50-31 in the second half to get to 88 wins, you know, which is kind of your baseline to get into a wild card game, and I think could be a pretty fair baseline for the NL West this year as well. So that's a daunting task. It's happened once in Padres history in 1989, and this team currently doesn't show very many signs that it's right to take off in a positive direction.
Well, we got the Mets coming in, and Sandy Alderson has said of going back to 69 with Don Clendenin, if you remember that, was brought in to help the Mets. They couldn't score any runs. Ed Seaver, Kuzman, and McGraw in those days, and people like that. They would love to get Justin Upton as a Met, and they'll overpay for him. Have the Padres reached the point where now they're going to start to move players, in your opinion? Because they really are only six out of the second wild card with a half a season to go.
Yeah, that's true, but I always look, Marty, at the wild card standings as having a multiplier factor when you think about the number of teams that are in between you and that mark, as well as the number of games. It can be six games, but if there's seven teams that you have to leapfrog along the way, those are a lot of moving parts, and any one of them can get hot at any time. I really think the NL West is going to be won at the top by who makes the right move to fortify their roster, because obviously both the Dodgers and Giants are dealing with a significant weakness on their roster that is injury-based. For the Dodgers, it's their starting rotation beyond their top two. For the Giants, corner outfield. So who addresses that in the best fashion, the fastest, could define the top of the race. For the Padres, the real question down here is this. Where is ownership in regards to seeing the situation as opposed to maybe how folks in baseball see the situation? Ron Fowler, the Seidler family, a lot of investment in this season, a lot of hype in town and expectations raised for this team. As early as 2 weeks ago on the Mighty 1090, Fowler was saying on our radio station that he thought this team, that they had the team in the clubhouse now to win a postseason series. And, I mean, honestly, nothing in terms of, you know, advanced evaluation of baseball would support that. The Padres ranked 26th in on-base percentage. They've got a number of players admittedly in a slump, but they've also got a number of factors that would suggest that their record is either indicative of their talent or that they're actually a couple games over where they should be right now. So moving Justin Upton is going to be the fascinating decision, because as soon as you move Justin Upton, the one guy who, you know, unqualified, super, super talent, guy's going to command a big market price in the offseason. You know, anyone would want Justin Upton on their team. So you're going to get something good for it. And I really think this is going to become a buyer's market close to the deadline, Marty. But if you get in early, it's a seller's market, and maybe you do get an overpay. So will ownership be willing to accept that turn and kind of what it means from a PR standpoint? That, to me, is the big question I'm waiting to see answered, because the Padres aren't answering it right now on the field in terms of the results.
No, great, great answer. You know, when the Padres are up here, of course, a new manager, Pat Murphy, and he may join us later. We had a chance to have a conversation with him. But everyone talked about the pitching, you know, and it's 82 games in, and you're still waiting for Cashner to get it together, a Kennedy who pitched today to get it together, and Despaigne is in there, of course, but Shields. you know, it's got the names, and you say, all right, as we go through this summer, which is now the toughest part of the season, if you got the rotation, you can get it done, but they've been so inconsistent. So my point is, I like pitching. I like to see if it can get together, but I think for the Padres, the play on the field has been the problem, and I think you're right. To get over Atlanta, Arizona, the Mets, and San Francisco, they'd have to play amazing baseball. But the truth of the matter is, with the loss column in this thing, the Cubs have 36 losses, and the Padres today have 45. It's not insurmountable for anybody. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What do you think about Arizona, by the way?
I think they're a couple of pieces short. You know, and I've watched them a lot. Padres have played them a lot. In the course of what we do, you know, whenever we're in studio for these road games, always the NL West games are the ones that we have up and are watching and scouting. And I think Chip Hale's done a really nice job with this Diamondbacks team to kind of restore a sense of winning about him in terms of just competing the right way. I think the Diamondbacks were a little bit off course for a while. And now I see a team that's more competitive on the field. Obviously, they're powered by Paul Goldschmidt, who's playing. He would be my first half MVP pick in the National League. And when I look at what he has been able to do to help create opportunity for other players in the lineup, that's to me where the Diamondbacks are good. Their rotation is just a notch below, I think, Marty. I mean, I agree with you. I think pitching generally is what carries it, which is why so many people were willing to look at this Padres team coming into the season as an 85 to 90 win team, but boy, you know, the arms just haven't matched up to the names.
All right, Padres, we'll have an all-star. Who's the all-star from the Padres?
Let me answer this a couple ways. The most deserving would be Brandon Mauer. Brandon Mauer has been one of the best relievers in the National League this year. And the fact that he doesn't collect saves means that you have to do, you know, a little more look at it, but he has just been absolutely dynamite. I think he would help the National League maybe the most. Politically, Justin Upton might get it. I think Derek Norris has played his way out of it, and the popular name that any manager would be happy to grab for his team is Craig Kimbrell. So yeah. I think it's going to be Kimbrell or Mauer, but Upton, if the politics of filling out the roster dictate that outfield is the spot, then Justin will go.
All right, great, great report as always. Craig Elston, the mighty 1090, the pre- and post-game host of the Padres. Pat Murphy, I mentioned him earlier, the college coach. A few years in the minor leagues for the Padres. Now he's the manager of the Padres, my goodness. His lineup selection, if he had one thing to say about Murphy, I know he's sort of a rah-rah kind of guy, a tough guy, but what about his lineup selection? Does he put together a good major league lineup?
Well, I'll say this. It's my number one critique right now of Pat Murphy. I think his lineup selection is borderline abysmal. It's almost like you asked the question, what's the worst lineup I could put together?
Okay.
And then you write it out. Because honestly, if I was in charge of a front office and was trying to select a manager, I might have a very basic test, like, could you please fill out the lineup card? And if the first name they wrote in was Melvin Upton, I'd be like, okay, the door's over here, you know, and we'll take in the next guy and see what he has to say. You don't play the worst offensive player in the National League leadoff and expect your team to have anything more than a binary offense scoring zero or one. And frankly, I just was doing a little tweet about this because I try to keep it on the more positive side over there on at 619 Sports, my Twitter handle. What I would like to see is for Murphy to have the courage of his convictions. Because, like, 2 out of 7 days when he fills out the lineup, I go, oh, that's a good idea. And then if they don't score 6 runs that day, the next day it's different. You know, Yonder Alonso is the only Padre with an on-base percentage over .350. The only one. He's the only guy who can take a pitch on this team. And after, you know, playing lineup roulette day in and day out, he settled on Alonso to start the series against St. Louis. Oh, Alonso did terribly. He swung at the first pitch 3 times. You know, it was ridiculous. It was like he forgot who he was. But he did it 1 time, and then the next day he's out of that. Mm. And he hasn't been back since. He decided to bat James Shields 8 in a game. Okay, if you're going to start hitting the pitcher 8, well, at least that gives me a place to bat Melvin Upton, 9th in the lineup, you know.
If you really want to get him on, in theory, in front of your big hitters, he did it one game. They didn't win that day. He hasn't batted this pitcher eight since, including when Shields pitches. So, you know, if you think something's going to work, stay with it. I think if you keep coming to the ballpark day in, day out, and it's not only that you might be hitting in a different spot in the lineup, but it seems like all the rules are undefined. Matt Kemp is going to hit first, now he's going to hit third. Well, he's been batting like a number seven hitter for about 2 months. If you're really going to fill out an effective lineup, move the outmakers down in the order and move the guys who get on base up in the order. So, you know, it's not rocket science, but so far, and Pat says that he and the coaches work on the lineup as a collective. So far, I'd say there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and the soup's getting messed up.
All right, great report. You know, you got us back to reality on the Padres, because I'm looking at them winning, losing. The road record's not bad. They took a couple of games from the Cardinals. I'm looking at the Diamondbacks, 1-500. The Giants, 2-over. The Mets are beating Bolsinger today with Steven Matz. It's 3-0 already in the fourth inning. So I said, maybe this thing will tighten up, but the Padres have a long way to go, and I appreciate your laying that out for us.
You got it, buddy. And I just think that your team, the Giants, and the Dodgers, are both going to make some sort of acquisition between here and August, and both have obvious areas of improvement. I think both teams are just playing way under their ability, and for the Giants, it's largely injury-related. If you had Aoki and Pence in the corners, I think it's a much different team. So, you know, if the Dodgers had a 3-4 in their rotation instead of Bolsinger, Frias at all, you know, they'd have a much different team. So that move, whoever makes it first, whoever makes it best, I think that team winds up coming out on top, and I think both teams contend for an NL spot.
Very good. Very good. By the way, Frias went on the DL today for the Dodgers, so he's out.
Next man up.
He's 15, so I think Column Bay or whoever's coming up, they got name every day. They bring up a new guy, so someone else is up. But Frias on the DL for the Dodgers. You heard it here first on the Mighty 680.
I love it, boy. Love it. Always great to be on the show.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you, Craig Elson, the Mighty 690 down in San Diego. Really, a lot of Mighty 1090. I'm sorry, I was in the 680 thing. Mighty 1090. He's terrific. He really, Bonte, like that report.
Definitely enjoyed it. It's always good. It's always good getting the other perspective from
Craig.
The
is good.
The division.
You know, he doesn't pull punches, and you know, the Padre thing. I always like to look at the pitching. Can they turn it around? You know, we've seen baseball long enough where if you at least you got the arms, it's a possibility. But boy, the team on the field just never gelled for San Diego. What do you think about their All Star, Kimbrel or Upton?
Gotta go Kimbrel. Upton's been a little inconsistent. He hasn't given them that spark over the top. I think. You know, forget the All-Star. I just think the disappointment's been Matt Kemp. He got off to such a hot start. You thought, okay, he's back. He wants to prove that he's back and he's healthy. Yeah. And he's just really fallen off, man. Their problem, I think, Marty, is just the lack of not having a leadoff hitter. They tried to put Will Myers up in there, the guy, the hot prospect from Tampa Bay, and that didn't work out. Then he got injured, and now they're trying Matt Kemp up there. It's just a lot. It was too much of a logjam in the outfield. I don't think they had – they had a bunch of talent, but they didn't put it together, you know, quite like they should have.
Yeah, no, it's a fantasy team, and that's the way they did it, and you can't win like that. We've seen that over the years. All right, more coming up. 808-KMBR is our number. Raph, what are we doing today for our contest? We got to come up with a good contest today for people at 808-KMBR, or you can tweet me, tweet at Baseball Marty, tweet at Baseball Marty. So, Raph, the winners go into our pool for the August dinner at Original Joe's. And we talked about it earlier today. So we agreed on Vogelsong, how many innings and how many total runs. Don't worry about earned runs, just runs that Vogelsong gives up. So maybe none. Vogelsong, how many innings he pitches and how many runs he gives up. And whoever gets closest to that, we'll take a couple of winners. We'll be in our pool for our dinner at Original Joe's. And we pick that winner at the end of July. So we got three winners yesterday that went in the pool. Bonte, what's your general thought on that one? Because he can give up some runs, and then he may not give up any runs. And Andy said he's one of the better pitchers they have.
He is one of the better pitchers they have, and he's one of the better big-game pitchers the Giants have.
Yes.
So I'm going to say six innings. Gutsy, he's going to have some trouble early on.
Okay.
He's going to give up some walks, and he's going to give up some hits. But I'm going to give Vogelsong six innings. Three runs.
All right. That quality start. Raph, where do you go with this one? All right. Bonte, well, you're always invited to our dinner anyway, so you're a winner. Have you been to one of our dinners yet?
I have not yet. I've heard great things.
Yeah, about them, Pecan was there at the last time. Pat, yeah, as we call him. But you're invited. It's the end of the month that you're inviting. It's July 30th, Raf.
I think I'll be in Texas during that week. If it's
right.
on a Sunday,
we
I'll make it.
About that.
But I'll be in Dallas the end of the month checking out the Giants and Rangers, and then I'll be back that Sunday. So hopefully you guys have a spot for me, and I'll never say no to free food.
Yeah, it's good. We have a great time. We talk baseball like this for 3 hours. That's what we do. All right, Raf, where do you go with Vogelsong?
I'm going 9 innings, no runs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If that happens, you'll get two dinners. Well, look, why not? As I said, you know, the guy has thrown shutouts before, and he's done it this year, and he is a big game pitcher in a way. All right, we'll see. Very good. This is going to be interesting tonight. All right.